Good morning. Oh, come on. Let's do better than that. Good morning. It is so good to see you. So good to be here again. And you have no idea who I am, do you? All right. Yeah, most of you do. Most of you do. But why don't we do a little greeting here? Hello. My name is? Fantastic. We're a step ahead already. Hey, I want to encourage you. You have a bulletin insert here, a bulletin insert, and it has Together in Mission on the front of it, which is the title of our message today. And on the back, it tells you exactly kind of who we are and what we do at my organization, Link. I'll explain a little bit more about that a little bit later. But inside is what's really important, because this gives you an opportunity to take copious notes on everything I talk about today. Because it's so crucial, right? It's so crucial to who you are and who God has made you to be. And not only that, but why you're here and how God is using you and what he has called us to do. Now, we all have a name, right? We all have a name. I think I've shared with you before that my name has a unique meaning to it, Dominic. And who is it that greeted me today and said that, that's it, Ruth greeted me today and said that her father had the same first name, Dominic, which means in Latin, Dominicanus, which means God's dog. Did you know that? Yeah. It's kind of unusual, isn't it? And I've grown into this name, though, because I thought, well, a dog is fairly loyal. You know, a dog is your best friend, you know, that kind of thing. And maybe that's what it means, God's best friend, you know, one of God's best friends. You know, we meet people all the time, don't we? We meet new people all the time. And the first thing that happens is what? We judge them with our eyes, right? Yeah, we try and judge them with our eyes, and often that's the wrong judgment, right? That's the wrong judgment. Could you advance the slide for me? Yeah, there you go. The hands that you see here on the screen belong to a man named Alexander. I learned his name after about 4 years of seeing him most every week. I would see him walking the streets between Crenshaw and Jefferson in South L.A. He has very matted hair. He dresses in the same black clothing every single day. And if you try and speak to him, there's pretty much nothing but garbled nonsense that comes out of his mouth. So just about a couple months ago, around February, a church that I work with in South L.A. called Hope L.A. started a ministry to feed the people in their neighborhood, people who are struggling with food insecurity, people like Alexander, some of the homeless in the neighborhood, right? So Alexander would come up and he'd receive some food and sort of the same as we've ever experienced with him. He can't understand a word he says, didn't even know his name. And then one day, I said to him, you know what, Alexander? I'm actually preaching on 2 Corinthians chapter 5 today. Do you know what that word says? And I'm not expecting him to say anything, but he opens up his Bible and he starts to show me what it says, right? And not only that, he goes from 2 Corinthians 5 to right here when I took this picture to Hebrews 12, and he starts to connect these two things together. And he starts to speak in a very clear way about who he actually is and who God has made him to be in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, right? We want to judge somebody with our eyes, but it's actually our heart that needs to connect with the true identity that God has placed in their lives. A true identity that God has placed in all of your lives as well. Right? When we want to answer that question, who am I? The world has different ways of answering this question. Who are you? Right? The world back in the Enlightenment, the time of the Enlightenment, back in the 1800s and 1700s and 1800s, they used to say this, I think, therefore I am. It was Rene Descartes who said that. A thinking being has identity, right? And as long as I can think about myself and I can think about my existence, then I actually have reality. Well, what about all those people whose thinking isn't quite working very well? People like Alexander, who are enslaved to drugs or mental illness. I think, therefore, I am is not a good assessment of identity, is it? The world today wants to tell us something different. The world wants to say, I feel, therefore I am. Right? As if what it is that I feel gives me identity. My emotions give me identity. That if I feel a certain way, well, that's who I am. Well, we all know that feelings are fleeting, right? Emotions come and emotions go, depending on the day, depending on the seasons. We have different feelings all the time. So maybe there's another solution. Maybe that solution is, I do, therefore I am. And this is probably the most common one. I mean, when I meet somebody new, I usually ask them that first question, what do you do, right? As if learning that they're a doctor, a lawyer, a baker, whatever, is their true identity in what they do. I mean, it's definitely part of it. I mean, part of who we are is what we do. Part of who we are is what we feel. Part of who we are is what we think. But there's a whole lot more. There's a whole lot more to who we are than I think, than I feel, or I do. Now, I know that either I've shared this with you or Pastor Rob did. I don't remember which, right? It's called the golden circle. And we can't really start with the what's of things. We have to really start with the why, right? You have to start with what's at the core. What's at the core of all of us? Our core motivation, or the why we're here. And why we're here determines how we live and ultimately what we do, right? This is what we call the golden circle. But after thinking about this and praying about this quite a bit, I actually think that there's a bit of a flaw in this little system of the golden circle. I actually think life looks a little bit more like this, which is more like a golden spiral. Right? That our identity comes from who we are, which determines why we are and how we do life and what we do, right? All of these things. We have to start with who we are. And why do we know that this is actually true? It's because that's exactly how Jesus' life lived out for us, right? Who he is, his true identity, given by God our Father. Given by God our Father. And it happened in a most remarkable way. You remember when Jesus got a sense of who he was? And there were people that were coming from all around. They were coming to the River Jordan. They were coming to a guy named John, a guy who was dressed in a camel hair coat, right? Leather belt, and ate locusts in the desert. And he was baptizing people with water. He's saying, repent, the kingdom of God is near. Right? And Jesus of Nazareth, this carpenter from this small town not too far away, came to be baptized. And John was like, no, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, no, we need to do this to fulfill all righteousness. We need to do this so that I get my true identity. I get who I truly am. Okay? When all the people were baptized and Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, remember, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove in bodily form, and a voice came from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Jesus receives his true identity from God our Father as beloved. Just want you to just think about this for one second. God is looking at each one of us right now. God is looking not only at the outward appearance of us, right? He's looking at our heart. He's looking at our deepest identity. He's looking at you, and he's looking at me. And what does he see? Does he see sin? Does he see shame? Does he see guilt? No. No, he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. He sees what's in your heart. He sees Christ. He sees beloved. He sees mine. He sees your true identity. Because Jesus' true identity, who he is, pours out into why he is. Why he is. God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. He looks at you and he says, you're right. You're righteous. You're holy. You're set apart. You are my children. And together, we're going to be on a mission, right? We're going to be on that same mission that God gave to Christ Jesus. Do you not know that all of you who are baptized into Christ Jesus, first and foremost, are baptized into his death? So you know what that means, right? That means that you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. That death can't hold you. That there is nothing that this world or the enemy can do to you to take you away from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can set you apart from his love. Not one thing. You know what our sin actually is? Our sin is this, that we don't believe that. That we don't believe who God is as an eternal loving Father, who God is as a beloved Lord and Son, who God is as a powerful Holy Spirit. And because we don't believe that, we don't believe who we are in him. And therefore, we do things trying to make for ourselves an identity, trying to fill out that name tag every single day by what we think, what we feel, what we do. And none of it works. Does it? No, none of it does. The who and the why of Jesus determines the how and the what of his mission, and we are his mission. We are his mission. There is no other mission. Okay? It's every single human heart, every single being created by God that God wants to return home to him, to be his beloved children once again. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Right? That's the mission, to walk in the newness of life. Right? There's so many stories about this. There are so many stories. How about this story in Scripture from Mark chapter 5? Jesus tells his disciples, hey, we're going to go to the other side of the lake. Okay, they don't want to go there because that's where the bad people are. Okay, we don't want to go where the bad people are. Right? We spend all of our time trying to get away from the bad people. But his disciples are put in the boat and they have to go and see where the bad people are, and they end up at this other place called the Gerasenes. And in this place where they light up on their boat, there's tombs all over. And in the tombs is this man who is oppressed by so many demons, so many things that are making him think, feel, and do, oh, so much that is so far from his true identity. The people of the town try and put chains on him, but he just breaks the chains off. And he says to Jesus, what have you to do with us? Why would you ever come to me? And Jesus casts the demons out. He casts those demons into a herd of pigs, and those poor little piggies all go and drown in the sea. And the people are very afraid by this. They're very afraid because they know that when it comes to an interaction with God in Jesus Christ, something is going to change. And the change that they see is in this guy who is oppressed, who's now dressed and in his right mind. He has a true identity. They can no longer bind him with chains, right? And all he wants to do is to follow Jesus. But Jesus says no. Jesus says no. Jesus says you have a mission. Jesus says go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And the beautiful stories about this is later in the gospel, Jesus returns to that same region and everybody knows who he is because this guy would not keep his mouth shut. Once his true identity is set in Christ, once the why of the mission that he has pours out into how he does it, he talks to people and what happens? The entire region comes to believe in who God is in Jesus Christ. This is what happens when you move from the old life to the new life. And what I would ask you is, where are you at? Where are you right now? Are you still over in the old life? And saying, yeah, I want to fill out my name tag a little bit more. I think I want to do a little bit more, feel a little bit more, think a little bit more about who I am. Or are you in the new life where God has already answered those questions? Or are you somewhere in between looking which way to go and not genuinely knowing, which I would say is probably most of us. Amen? We are simultaneously sinners and saints. We are simultaneously old and new. And we struggle with this every single day. Who are we? Well, that scripture says in your bulletin today, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. The new life has begun. There is no old life. There's nothing to go back to. I mean, you could try, but nobody's the same. Nobody remembers you back there. My wife and I went to our 20th high school reunion. I'm sorry, I just misspoke. Our 30th. Can't get over it. Our 30th high school reunion back in October. And it was so interesting because I'm going to tell you, I'm kind of a different person than I was when I was 17, 18 years old. And I would assume that you are too. When I came here today and I saw familiar faces, yes, and I saw new faces, great. But one thing I know is that not one of you is the same as you were yesterday. Not one of you is the same since you walked in the door. Isn't that crazy? God is constantly doing this work. Your old life is gone. Your new life has begun. So why are we here? Well, God has given us this amazing task of reconciling people to him. That's what God has us here for. That's our only job. Just as Jesus had this one soul mission to reconcile us to God, he gives us this same ministry of reconciliation. How do we do this? Well, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. You see, as God did it through Jesus, Jesus does it through us. It's the same pattern. Right? That's how we do it. It's the only way reconciliation and peace work. The only way that people with such varying senses of their identity can come together and to understand that they are at one in Christ Jesus. That there is only one humanity. And that every single person, whether it's Alexander on the streets of South Central LA, or it's you and I in Palm Springs, are the same in God's eyes. Beloved, forgiven, rescued, redeemed. All of the beautiful things that God gives us. Yeah, so now what? Now what? Well, we're Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, and I want you to say it with me. Come back to God. Come back to God. That's it. Come back to God. Not come back to church. Sorry, Pastor Rob. I hope he doesn't listen.
Not come back to church, right? Come back to God. Come back to the Father who loves you so much that he would run to you, throw on his beautiful cloak, put a ring on your finger, and slaughter the fatted calf just because he's happy to have you home. Come back to God. Come back to God. He has come back to you in Christ Jesus, and he keeps coming back again and again and again. His precious body and blood that we're going to share in a few minutes is God coming back to you, calling you to a new life in him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are together in mission. Together. It doesn't matter that I work in the city of Los Angeles or the LA metro area. I mean, we do the same thing. We're ambassadors of reconciliation, right? So I want to share with you a short video that shows kind of who Link is, that's my organization, and what we're about. Because we are in this together, right? So I want to show you what it is that you invest in. Can you go ahead? Show us.
Every community has underestimated leaders with God-given dreams who want to impact their community through the gospel. The reality is, most churches feel ill-equipped to do the work to reach those in both immigrant and urban communities. They know there is a population needing to be reached and developed, but just like you, they face barriers like not knowing where to start, not having time to do the work well, or the expertise to sustain it long term. Immigrant and urban communities must be reached. Link empowers local leaders to impact their communities through the gospel. Our team of church planners, urban missionaries, and multi-ethnic leaders has been leading the way in urban church planning and community development since 2002. We are currently working with more than 120 leaders who are being engaged, equipped, and empowered. We believe everyone with a God-given dream should have a pathway, resources, training, coaching, and discipleship to see their dream come alive. With your financial support, we will see churches planted in immigrant and urban communities, new ministry starts, leaders raised, communities transformed by the gospel. Together, we will engage, equip, and empower local leaders so that leaders with God-given dreams to impact their communities won't continue to go overlooked and underestimated. Communities won't experience unnecessary struggles. There won't be division between the church and its community. Your generosity will make a difference, and together we can ensure no leader walks alone.
Yeah, no leader walks alone. Every leader is together in mission. Thank you. I mean, even Alexander, right? You know what we see Alexander doing in our neighborhood now in South Central LA, Jefferson and Crenshaw? I see him walking around with a student Bible. It's the old one that said Faith Alive, if anybody remembers. You can't miss this Bible. It's like glaringly bright and neon. I see him walking around with that Bible talking to people. That's amazing, right? He's a local leader. He's proclaiming the gospel in his own way, in his own community, in his own neighborhood. You have the opportunity to be a part of that. You already are in your prayers and your support. There are ways to support us on the back here. I just encourage you to take that time and to support those local leaders just like you who are reaching their community for the gospel. And I thank you. I thank you so much for having me back here. I love coming back here, even in the summer. I love coming back here. I love it too in season when everybody's back. That's kind of fun too. So I'm sure I'll see you again when Pastor Rob invites me back, and we'll talk again about some of your stories about what it means to be together in mission. What it means that God is calling you to be those ambassadors of Christ Jesus right here in Palm Springs. Amen? Amen. Brothers and sisters, let's pray. Lord God, Father in heaven, we so thank you. We thank you for every opportunity that you give us, Lord God, in giving us a true identity in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is your beloved children. It is each and every one of us, Lord God, that is empowered with a why to go out and to be ambassadors of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to call others to come back to you, a loving Father who gives peace and forgiveness
and joy every single day. We ask you, Lord God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you fill us with every good intention and every good idea, Lord God, to go out and to share the beloved message of your Son, Jesus Christ, with every person we meet. We thank you, Lord God, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.